Julie Bucher is a member of this church for 12 years. And let me tell you, and though she is a deacon and very active with that, if you've ever been here in recent years for Vacation Bible School, you will see, hear, and know Julie. And so having said that much, we'll let her speak and address you on Wildwood Presbyterian Church, her life and faith. Thank you, Julie.
Good morning. Okay, so for those that don't know me, I am Julie Bucher. I have been a member, like Bill said, here at this church with my family for 12 years. My husband George and my four children, very involved as well, sometimes just because I drag them in. Anyway, I was asked to speak today about this church and what it means to me in my life. And this is a pretty awesome place, so there's so much that I could really say about this building, what we do here, and the people in it. But as I thought about it, I found myself trying to think of how would I describe this church to somebody who had never been here. And one image kept popping into my head, and that was one thing that I had built here one year, the Tree of Life. That is my Tree of Life. And I do wear quite a few hats around here. I am on the deacon's board, and if you've been on the prayer network at all, you've probably received several emails from me. I also am on the CE committee. I teach Sunday school, which I love. But really, my favorite thing around here is decorating for Vacation Bible School. Decorating the halls and the sanctuary is something I really just work on in my head all year long. Sometimes when I sit out there, I might not be listening so well as I am trying to figure out how much weight I could suspend from those little things up there. But then somewhere around mid-May, Kathy Gilmore, who is very brave, sets me loose out there in the halls, and I get to just pour out my creativity in a very large way down the halls, into Fellowship Hall, and here in the sanctuary. Well, about a year and a half ago, I built this Tree of Life right here on this stage. It was made of about 5 or 6 2x4s. It had 900 feet of craft paper and miles of paper chain that I think was mostly stapled by Miss Susan. It stood 12 feet tall, and it had 10 branches that reached out and were suspended up above the stage. And it really was my most favorite thing that I've ever built in this church, because it just represented this church so well, I think. And I just really thought it was a great metaphor for this church, because we are very much like a tree of life. Because like a tree deeply rooted into the ground, this church is so rooted in this community. And it has been for more than 60 years. It's been a place of worship, of faith, and of family. It's been a place where we can bring our children and know that they will be loved. It's a place where you can count on a helping hand or just an ear to listen. From the Pink Beach House to Sears Boulevard to the sanctuary that we worship in today, our roots run deep. Founding members and their families continue to worship here and bring their families. Kids have grown up in our youth program and returned to be advisors and leaders. And new members come through our doors every day, growing and strengthening our congregation. But that's not to say that our tree hasn't been shaken, because it has. We've had tornadoes rip through our community. We've experienced significant losses in our church family. And we've had unforeseen hazards drive through our front doors. But it's in the midst of these times when I see the unbelievable strength of our roots, because it's during these times, the most difficult moments, that the roots of our faith take hold in our lives, and they anchor us to each other, and they get us through. Brick and mortar make a building. It's a foundation that stays put and doesn't falter. But without the roots, planted and nurtured by people who have dedicated their time and love and talents to keeping them strong and firmly in place, without that, then this church, it's just brick and mortar. The roots give it life. But it's not just the roots that make a tree. The true beauty is in the branches. And oh, do we have branches. Our branches are strong and sturdy. They're gentle and comforting. They're far-reaching, and they never break. Each and every one of us is a leaf on those branches, and we are vibrant with color and bursting with life. And when the whisper of God sets our branches swaying, well, things get done. Every day, this church reaches out to touch the lives of the people in our congregation and in our community. We shelter the homeless, we feed the hungry, and we comfort the sick. We embrace every generation, teaching our children, supporting the young families, and caring for the elderly. Our branches are made up of ever-faithful people who know how to reach out to those in need, and they don't need to be asked. They're just there, and I know this because I have experienced it with my own family, and we've seen it. When my husband was having surgery, I didn't ask a friend to sit with me during the surgery and wait it out. Greg just showed up. And I didn't ask for a meal to feed the kids that night to lighten my load. Lori just showed up with one. And so those times, those gestures, they might seem small, but when you're on the receiving end, they're not small, they're huge. Because Greg just didn't fill the time that day. He lifted my spirits. And Lori's meal didn't just fill our bellies. She gave me a minute to catch my breath and scratch another thing off my list without even lifting a finger. And of a mom with four kids and a husband down for the count, that means a whole lot. So it's really just a great place to be a part of, and the people in just reach out all the time. The branches of this church, they sweep through our lives, and they give us the support and unconditional love that we need just when we need it. And that is really one of my favorite things about this church. The mission work that we do here is tangible. Not only can you see it, but you can touch it and you can be a part of it. We don't just give our money to a remote village so they can build a school. We go out and we build the school. And we don't just donate money and toys to kids who might not otherwise get anything for Christmas. We dress somebody up like Santa and an elf, and we go and deliver those toys to those kids one by one. Our branches are always sprouting new leaves because WPC kids know how to do mission. They learn it early. We teach it in Sunday school. We give them opportunities to be a part of it in youth group and mission trips, and they understand the joy it can bring into their own lives. I have four teenagers, one of them sitting right back there, who won't cut the grass at home to save their lives. Seriously, it's not hard work. We have a riding mower. I just have to drive around in a circle and listen to music, but every single time, it's an argument. But these same kids won't think twice about signing up for a mission trip where they'll go off for a week in the mid of July, in the heat, sleep without air conditioning, and work for somebody they don't know, volunteering their time to help them out. These are what our WPC kids do. And when they come home at the end of that week and the stories start pouring out of them, those are the moments that I know the roots of this church have taken hold in my kids' lives, and that is a blessing to behold. Here's one more way to look at it. That particular tree of life was literally made from the very thing it was built to represent. I took paper and wood and I built a tree, the very thing that gives us paper and wood. And without trees, my paper tree would not have been created. It would not have brought joy to those that saw it, and it would not have caused giggles from the kids who stood below it, jumping up to reach the branches. In much the same way, we are made from that which we are here to represent, God. God is our tree. We are the wood in the paper, made from him, so that we might do his work here, that we would become a church and plant roots and grow branches and sprout new leaves and make more wood and paper. WPC to me is a tree of life. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Has been a part of Wildwood Presbyterian Church since 2007. In other Presbyterian churches, because this is his background, he has served on pastor nominating committees twice. In the life of this church, he helped organize and lead this church's first mission trip to Puerto Rico. It is my pleasure to introduce to you Jose Rodriguez.
Thank you, Jose. Morning to all. I was going to give up that my accent is from West Gurnee, but Pastor Bill already said I'm from Puerto Rico, and blessed to be here. Before I can talk about what WPC has meant to us and is in our lives, I certainly have to give you some background of our family life. My family's not here. They'll be here in the second service, but it's very important so you understand all of what has transpired for us to be here. We are from Puerto Rico. People would think that because we're from there, naturally we're born Catholic, but there are some Presbyterian churches there. And we were born in a Presbyterian heritage and have been able and blessed to do that through all of our lives. I was born in the west part of Puerto Rico in a town called San Sebastian, which is where our mission trip went to back in 2011, I believe, or 12, when or 10, 10. I'm starting to get short time memory issues, but the important thing about that is that when we were in that church, we used to sing was a contemporary group for 20 some years. I was in the session. My wife was a deacon. We were teachers. We were extremely involved in church. And I work for Abbott, have worked for Abbott for 26 years. There's a large site there. Our lives were going wonderfully well. And we built the house of our dreams, which doesn't mean it's big or small. It means that was what we wanted, where we wanted to live for the rest of our lives. We have our oldest son, Manuel. He was 2 years old, and my wife was pregnant with Cesar, who some of you may have met, and some of you will meet later on. But Cesar was born, and he was, after a year of regression on his typical milestones, we understood he had autism. And what autism has become in our lives is not only of the blessing of him, but also the reason to change all of the things we do and why we do them and why we do certain things in different ways. And I was thinking about the scripture today where it says we have to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. When a son is 2.5 years old and you receive those news, how do you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the perfecter of faith? You start asking questions. You start thinking, what am I going to do? What is it going to be? And at the end of the day, you decide that the best thing to do is to move on. To move on with the life that you have, to move on with what you were given. But certainly, it is easier if you fix your eyes in Jesus Christ, the perfecter of faith. When they were 6, 7, and 9, because we have two other kids, some of the older kids here know Lisianne, which is my youngest. She's in college right now, and our oldest is Manuel. We decided to move here. They were 6, 7, and 9. You think that moving is an easy thing for those of you who've moved a lot, but I remember that Abbott used to pay what we call a large car in Avis for 2 weeks, and we got into O'Hare, and we had like 25 pieces of luggage. And I'm trying to fix the 25 pieces of luggage and three kids to the point that I threw Manuel through the window to see if he could fix there, and then I took a minivan. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is that it's more difficult than what you think when you're by yourself, you're all alone, you don't know what you're doing. Because we used to live in our hometown, we used to be surrounded by everybody who loves us, we used to be supported by a lot of people who are the people that we grew up around. We come to a new place, we come to a new country, we come to a new culture. Even though my company is my company everywhere, it's also a new company. All of those things change your life, and you don't really know what you're going to do. At the beginning of our time here, we went to a Hispanic Presbyterian church in downtown Chicago, whose pastor used to go with me to mission trips and camps and things like that. His name is Jose Muniz, and some of you may know him. But we were spending all of our day in church there, so we started looking for a church to come to, and we live in Southridge, which is the intersection of Hunt Club and Washington here. So, I mean, it didn't get better than coming to a church that was 2 miles from our house. Started coming here, certainly different, right? The environment, but everybody opened their arms right away. My oldest was in the age of mission of the youth group. The kids there opened their arms to him, the leaders. They asked me to participate with them as a counselor in the group. My wife worked in the vacation Bible school a couple of days. When Julie was speaking, what I remember is when I had my gallbladder surgery, there was no one to take me to Condell, but it's not a big deal. I mean, I could have driven or somebody would have dropped me off, but Greg did. He just showed up and took me there and prayed with me and stayed with me, an experience I had not had. I think the what WPC means to us is a community of faith that is willing to be there whenever you need it. But in addition to that, it's a group of people that are willing to do a lot for people they do not know. One of the things that impresses me the most is the activities we do on Saturdays where we pass food along to people. You know, when on Tuesday nights, we stay here caring for those who are less fortunate. In addition to that, I think the church has a strong presence in the community. And no matter who you are, where you come from, and what do you do, you're going to be well received all the time, you know. The Dimmocks have been an inspiration to me. Ellen, at some point, she always took care of watching Cesar and knew how he was doing. And she always used to tell me, hey, have a lot of little things in the cry room in case you go there so he can use and entertain himself. You know, those kind of things are details, but they mean a lot to you. Pastor Bill, I know I'm on a crunch time here, so I'm trying to finish. We're not as involved as we were in Puerto Rico, and life has dealt us the things we need to do, and we have a mission in our own home, and hopefully we can get involved, more involved as time goes through. But what I've learned is that it doesn't matter if I'm in Puerto Rico, in my home church there, in the church I chose to go in Chicago, or on this one, it is one church. Not only one church, one Presbyterian church, but one church in Jesus Christ. And we're so proud and happy to be part of this one. So in the Presbyterian tradition that I have participated, I as Pastor Bill said, I worked in two pastoral nominating committees. I want to leave you with three things this morning. One of them is they're going to be working, and sometimes we're going to be thinking, why are they not moving fast enough? Why are they not trying to you know, just start listening to people and pick them? Why is this thing or the other thing? They may not be able to tell us all they're doing. And we can get angsty about that because, oh, why so secretive? I think what we can do for them is pray for them. What we can do for them is nurture their knowledge by whatever we think. What we can do for them is tell them what we think, but they're going to do the work. And I'll tell you, this pastoral nominating committee is much better organized than the two I worked before. So I'm very thrilled at that, and they're going to do great. The second thing I'm going to tell you is that when you see someone with special needs and you're paying on your jewel line, and the person is struggling to put the groceries in the bag, let's be sensitive to them. Because not all of us are the same. Not all of us have the same abilities and skills, but we're all children of God. And the more sensitive we are towards people with special needs, the better we're gonna be, the better we're gonna feel in our lives. And last, on Loyalty Sunday, I wanna say, let's make sure that we appreciate all the good that Wildwood Presbyterian Church gives us, not only as a church, which is the main reason for us to be, but as a community of faith and as a community of people who love each other. So then we can fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, because he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. God bless you all.
In gratitude for all of God's good gifts.